Welcome to the NorCal Real Estate Show, where we're talking all things real estate in Yolo, Sacramento, and Solano counties. My name is Jeremy Higgins. I'm the team lead of the Higgins team at eXp Realty, and I'm here with my partner,
Andrew
Lujewski. What's going on, my buddy?
Working hard.
Are you working hard or hardly working?
We're working extremely hard, actually. Busy week at the office.
It has been a busy week at the office. I feel like I need to, you know, pay attention to the time blocking a little bit more. Booking myself solid each day, and I don't leave any room for those, like, whoopsie moments, right?
You give yourself some personal time, too.
Time. What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, what's that?
That's the issue. So,
well, I did. We did get one round of golf in for a charity tournament. That was a bit of a joke on how we played, but at least we got some golf in at least once,
well,
right?
It was raining, so we'll blame it on that.
It was raining. Yeah. And we had a good time for a good cause. All right, folks, we're going to be talking about the six reasons why you should buy a house during the fall. That's right, six reasons why you should buy a house in the fall. So we talk about this often, springtime, summertime. A lot of our podcasts are focused on sellers. We think that's a great time to sell. There's a reason for it. And when we get to the fall and the winter, we're often switching that over to the buyers. We think it is the best time of the year for a buyer to buy, and we're going to tell you why. But before we do that, we're going to go to tip of the day. What do we got?
Tip of the day. If you are a homeowner or even a renter, make sure your rain gutters are cleaned out before a storm comes through. This weekend here in Northern California, we had a very heavy rainstorm come through.
Really?
A little bit.
5.28 inches record for the entire year.
It's probably not the entire year
since it beat the record in 1880, actually.
Did it?
Yes.
I had no idea. It's probably not going to rain until February now.
Let's hope not. A third of the rain fell in for our annual rainfall fell in one day. Not bad.
Well, we needed it. But regardless, I had a couple calls over the weekend from family members saying, hey, my gutters are spilling over, flooding, this and that. Get your gutters cleaned out before a storm comes through. What you'll have is the gutters will get clogged, and then your rain gutters will fill up, and then you'll start getting waterfalls around your house. And that could be a nuisance. You can't get into your home because it's puddled up around your front door. But most importantly, improper drainage can cause undercutting of your foundation, where it starts eroding underneath your foundation from puddled up water. And that can lead to cracking of your foundation in the future.
Absolutely. And there could be some danger involved as well. When the water's falling down onto the sidewalks and creating moss and that kind of stuff, it can be a little bit slippery. I would also say that, these gutters are made of thin metal. And when you have, leaves and water debris that is stuck in there for long periods of time, it's going to erode that metal faster. So you're going to find that you're going to have to replace your gutters more often. So, just keep it pretty simple. I would clean your gutters the beginning of the season and at the end of the season and call it a day.
Yep. Annual maintenance.
That's it. Yep. These houses are living, breathing things. They, you can't just buy them and ignore them. You have to take care of them. So, all right, let's go to the main topic. The six reasons why a buyer should buy a house during the fall. Number one, an increase in the number of homes for sale. I think I guess that's true to a certain extent. I don't know if we have actually a greater number of homes on the market, but we have fewer buyers in the market, so the competition is certainly less.
Well, I think we've seen a small uptick in inventory, right? 2020, 2021. A lot of sellers were really nervous about putting their home on the market during the pandemic, right? We didn't know what was going to happen with COVID, vaccine status, you know. How are things going to play out? And now that we have widespread, you know, vaccine distribution, people are a little bit more comfortable and things, the world's kind of going back to more normal.
And, the new normal,
the
right?
New normal, yeah. More normal.
Yeah. And I think this is really playing out. I think we're starting to feel the difference here. And one of the indicators that I'm seeing that I haven't seen in a long time is these contingent sales. So, couple months ago, a lot of sellers were staying put because they were concerned that there wouldn't be a place for them to go. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want to sell their house and commit to selling their house to somebody if they didn't have a house that they could buy. They didn't feel confident that they were going to be able to buy a house. And, it seems like recently, we're seeing a lot more contingent sales, which is basically a seller putting their home on the market. They're selling it to a buyer, but they're making it contingent upon them finding another home and being able to close escrow on that other home. We couldn't do that several months ago. It was just too competitive of a market. And now all of a sudden it's happening all over the place, happening all the time. We got one right now that's got it's a chain of three. I think we talked about it a podcast or two ago. Maximum for me was seven. So we're at three today. Not bad. We're getting there. I think that was your maximum, right?
Three has been my max so far in my career, but seven just sounds bananas. That's a lot of coordination, right? A lot of, it's a big domino effect. If if the first house in the domino stack doesn't close, then everyone else is.
That's what we do, though. That's how we do it. It's fun. It's possible. So if you guys are thinking about wanting to buy and it would require you to sell a house first, I would argue that this is probably the best market to be able to do that in. At the end of the day, all when we're saying increased inventory, number of homes to choose from, whatnot, the truth of the matter is it's less competitive for you to buy right now. When it's less competitive, there's fewer buyers competing for a house, then it enables you to pay better prices, and it also enables you to have more favorable terms like a contingency.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Number two, the possibility of price cuts on the older listings. Yeah. So this one's a fun one. I'll start off on this one. This is a fun one. Maybe it's not so fun, but this happens every single year where in the spring and the summer, the market's getting hot and prices are appreciating and that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, 4th of July, I've talked about it a million times, 4th of July activity just cuts off and prices stop appreciating at that point. But the sellers for a short period of time are kind of, and maybe it's at the direction of their agents, I don't know, but they price their houses too high. They're anticipating that increased appreciation. And so they list their home according to that anticipated appreciation, but then the market stops. And now you've got all of these sellers that are stuck on the market because their homes are suddenly overpriced. Nobody anticipated it. And so usually those sellers are in that mindset of it's easy to sell. I mean, come on, like anything sells, just put a sign in the yard, put it on the MLS and it'll be gone in 24 hours. When that stops, the sellers take a little bit to like come back to reality, right?
I mean, that goes back to homeowners in general think their house is worth way more than it actually is. I think it's way nicer than the competition, right? And this kind of falls in line with that too. They don't want to look at the feedback that the market's giving them. They try to think, oh, you know, we're in October. Well, this house sold in April for this much. You know, my house is worth the same amount.
I mean, I can understand how it happens though, because the media, the real estate agents, everybody's in on it. They're like, hey, the market's hot. It's crazy. It's appreciating like crazy. So everybody's going in there saying, yeah, I think you can push the price on here on the house because the market's appreciating so much. And the data tends to be a little bit delayed. So we end up the market or the buyer activity slows down significantly, but it can take a couple of weeks for us to actually see that appear in data. And so the media is a little bit slow to catch on to it and that kind of stuff. And so they're innocently pushing the market because when you're in the spring and the summer, that's what you do. You push the prices on those. And so anyway, where we're going with it is now we're getting into the end of October. We're starting to get close to the holidays. I think everyone knows that once you get close to the holidays, it becomes much more difficult to sell a home. People don't want to sell a home during Thanksgiving or the winter holidays just because you got a lot of family over, you got a lot of decorations out and all that kind of stuff. And so right now, those sellers are having to make a choice. I either need to sell my home in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, or I'm going to have to pull my home off the market and I'm going to have to wait until next year before I do it. And so I think you're seeing across the board homes that have been on the market for 30 or 45 days, they're making their price reductions right now. This is the time to jump in and take advantage of it.
Yeah. It's tough to see trends while they're happening, right? You don't see them until a month or 2 months or a quarter after they happen. And, in our particular area, there's a big cycle that we follow, right? Springtime, peak of the market, rolling into early summer, you hit 4th of July and things start tapering off for the rest of the year. And, right now I'm dealing with it with a seller that we're trying to work with a buyer and work around Christmas time. The buyer wants to be in before Christmas, right? No one wants to be in a U-Haul driving down the interstate on Christmas Day. And so we're trying to plan ahead and figure out how to get these people into the house before Christmas, but also get the seller out with enough time to, you know,
get where they're going.
So, for us local agents, we understand we're on a big cycle and we can anticipate trends before they happen.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about Yolo, Sacramento, Solano County area. I'm sure these cycles do exist across the country to some extent. They may be a little different, timing may be off a little bit, but, in most markets, with the exception of maybe the snowbird type markets, the holidays is a very slow season. So bottom line, now is the most opportune time, in my opinion, for a buyer. You have a fair amount of inventory, not a ton. It's still low compared to previous years, but we certainly, it's easier to find a home today. I just showed three houses to a buyer yesterday. All three of those houses came on this last week. You know, a couple of months ago, we would have to wait 2 weeks sometimes just to get one home to show. And she called me up and said, "Hey, this is what I want to buy. Pull it up on the MLS. We have three houses that we can show her all in one day." So that was pretty cool. So now is the time you're going to see people jumping into action. Once we get into November, I think you're going to start seeing the inventory decrease again, because people are going to be pulling it off for the holidays. So it may be a great time to buy from a price standpoint, something like that, but you may not have a whole lot of homes to choose from. So that kind of leads us into the next one, and that is slower price appreciation. We're still seeing some appreciation, and I think a lot of it's dependent on the price point. We are seeing appreciation, but we're not seeing it like we were. I mean, back in May, we were looking at 15% over list price on these houses, which means when these houses were selling, they set a new benchmark that was 15% higher. It was going up fast.
Well, the biggest factor in that was the drop in interest rates, right? So we had talked about this on a previous podcast, but interest rates were, 4.5%. And then all of a sudden they dropped down to sub 3%, give or take. And then now people's affordability has gone through the roof. So everyone, at a certain level could afford a $400,000 home for $2,500 a month. And now they can afford $550 for $2,500 a month. And that just drove the market through the roof. And I think we're at a point where things have evened out again, or people's affordability is kind of,
it is where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Again, bottom line here, homes are not appreciating as fast, so you don't have to be as aggressive with your offers. We just heard of one today that the buyer was actually able to receive a credit from the seller. I haven't seen that in a while.
I haven't seen that in a year and a half almost.
Yeah, but that's happening. So, yep, that was number three. Number four, interest rates remain at historic lows for now.
Well, the word on the street is that the Feds are going to raise the interest rates first quarter of 2022. That's what they say. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but that's what we're anticipating for.
No! Oh. Nate is here.
Sorry.
Nate.
Welcome to the show.
It's the interest rates have been so low for so long. It almost doesn't seem real that they will raise them.
Oh, we're spoiled.
We are spoiled. But Nate, I hate to drop this news on you, but it's actually already happening.
No. Sorry. I didn't have a full one in me.
I wish I could have seen the video on that.
I know.
A little technical error today, and we don't get to put Nate on the video, unfortunately. But yes, I have a client, the same client that I showed the three houses to. She was actually looking for homes a month ago. Had something come up, so she had to put a pause on the purchase for a couple of weeks. She's back into it. And her interest rate was quoted at 2.62 4 weeks ago. And yesterday, she was quoted 3%. So, still super low, but I mean,
well, historically low, right? I wasn't around in the 80s. Jeremy, you were around in the 80s, right?
I was, yeah.
What were interest rates back in the 80s?
I was on the little league field playing ball. I don't remember, but I think my parents were telling me that they were in the 16 to 18%.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get there though, Andrew.
They can't.
Let's not scare people that way.
Well, even then, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, pre 2008, 2007, interest rates then were still probably 6 to 7%. Still before my time, but Does that sound accurate?
Yeah. My very first house, I was quoted 7.45.
What a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah. So interest rates, they are still really low, guys. I mean, 3%, come on. That's a great, great interest rate. But as they go up, I think I heard a statistic, when they go up 0.5%, that increases the total cost of your loan somewhere in the 9% range or something like that. So I don't know how that works. I'm not a mathematician, but it can increase your monthly payment by a couple hundred dollars a month just by having a 0.5% increase.
Well, I think the rule of thumb with the interest rate right now is $100 extra on your mortgage payment relates to about $15,000 in purchasing power.
Makes sense.
So
makes
sense. If the interest rate goes up a little bit, then the extra $100 a month probably gets you closer to, like, you know, maybe $11,000, $12,000 in purchasing power. Yeah.
So all we're saying really is, like, we don't think the interest rates are going to go crazy through the roof. I don't think we're going to be back at 7.45% anytime soon. With that being said, just a 0.5% increase in and of itself is going to increase your monthly payment. And then you're going to find yourself purchasing, you know, if you delay this, you're going to find yourself purchasing in the spring and the summer, where the houses are also going to be appreciating. You're going to get a double whammy. So I think now is certainly
saves the money. Yeah, interest is a waste of money. You're just burning money.
Yeah. Money's got to come somewhere. All right. So number five, the sellers want to close by the end of the year. Andrew, why would a seller be so anxious to sell by the end of the year?
Taxes might be important.
Specifically, right?
Partially. Yeah. I have a seller right now. She isn't a seller or a investor per se. She lives in the home, but she did make some other big sales. She sold a business and a couple other things that the sale of this property would put her up in another tax bracket and complicate things. And her goal was, I need to get this house sold post January 1 for tax reasons.
Yeah. So for her, it's the opposite, right? She's going to hold off on selling until the next year. However, there are many, many sellers, investors in particular, who want to sell this year in order to be able to put the tax liability on this year. I think people
have that flip-flopped.
Yeah, they have a significant number of write-offs this year, COVID-related write-offs and that kind of stuff. And so it's nice to have your income coming in on a year that you have really great write-offs. So we are seeing a lot of sellers putting their houses on. They want to sell at the end of the year. The other thing that we're seeing is that, especially particularly in college towns, but it's not uncommon in our market here, where leases go from September 1st through August 31st. And that is, in a college town, you do that because you don't want all of your tenants to move out in June and then have a vacancy until the following September every year. So they sign 12-month contracts. And so a lot of those homes, they were vacated by the tenants August 31st of this year. We also had the eviction moratorium was lifted recently. So we're starting to see some of those investors who, you know, may have wanted to sell over the last couple of months, but they just couldn't because there was a tenant in place. Those tenants are now gone. They've gone in there, they've done their prep for the house, and they're coming on the market right now. So the three houses that I showed yesterday, all three of them were investor owned homes, and all three of them were vacant. So just another reason why now. That's the number five reason why now might be a good time to buy. Number six, harsher weather can show more flaws. What do we mean by that?
Well, in the wintertime, it tends to rain a little bit.
It does.
And roofs can leak. And that would be a good time to see a roof leak. Otherwise, summertime, it's really tough to see if a roof is going to leak or not, because it's dry, right? There's no way to tell if a roof is going to leak or not. Whether it looks good or not, you're not going to be able to know. Wintertime, nice and soggy, water penetration, you'll be able to spot a leak.
You'll be able to spot a leak in a hot beat. I think buying a home in the winter is absolutely the safest time to buy. The multitude of reasons. The water intrusion is probably one of the greatest detriments to a home. And it's also one of the more common that we see in homes is this water intrusion issue. It can create a lot of damage, and it's not easy to see in the summer. I think there's also when it relates to the grading around your home. In the summertime, you have no idea where all that water is going to pool or where it has been pooling. In the wintertime, it's very simple to see it. So you might you might not realize that your patio is going to be in 4 inches of water in the wintertime if you're buying it in the summer. But in the wintertime, that's easy to see. If you see water pooling up near your foundation somewhere, it's easy to see it in a day like or on a in a winter day like now.
Yeah, drainage is extremely important. Wintertime, it rains, water table comes up. And my grandma's house right now, her whole backyard was had like 4 inches of water just pooling up back there.
Well, 5.4 inches of rain or whatever we had is going to cause that to happen. Well,
partially, right? But over the last 4 years that she's lived there, she's never had the slightest little bit of pooling up, even on, you know, during a rainstorm.
Yeah, it happens.
So. I have another one that's a little bit more noticeable this time of year. As it's getting cooler, you have a lot more of the pests and vermin and little creepy crawlies that find their way in through all of the cracks and penetrable parts of your home. And that becomes a lot more evident than it necessarily does in the summertime.
Yep. You're just looking for a cozy place to stay.
Yeah. Guys, all against bugs. This is crazy. Well, those are your six reasons, folks. Six reasons why right now is the best time of the year, every year, to buy a home in the fall or the winter. So if you're thinking about buying, you're thinking about selling, get in touch with us. We'd love to help you. You can reach us at podcast@HigginsHomeSearch.com, podcast@HigginsHomeSearch.com, and we'd love to hang out and sell you a house. Check it.
See ya.